Greetings, my peeps, and welcome to the All Things Basketball Podcast with your boy GD. In this episode, I'll be doing the WNBA second half. I'll give you kind of the outlook as far as things go with certain teams. Trade deadline at August 7th, so I have some words to say about that as well. So all that, and I did want to tie a knot on the All-Star game. There was something I forgot to mention. So just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Okay, guys, it's your boy GD back with the All Things Basketball with GD Podcast. And guys, we are in the midst of the second half of the WNBA season, guys. So a lot of moving, a lot of shaking, and the trade deadline is around the corner. Actually, it's next week, August 7th, so probably not a lot of major moves. I think just some minor tweaks here and there I think teams may end up making. So I'll talk a little bit about that as I go through all the teams and so forth. But I did want to circle back to the All-Star game just for a minute. And actually, I got some sound from Candace Parker. It seems like her and Aaliyah Boston is doing this podcast. So some things were said. I want to play some of that sound. But before I do that, I'll talk about that first once I bring the sound up. So it looks like Candace Parker, see, she has come under fire lately because she was doing tiers of WNBA players, and a lot of people felt a way that she had Angel Reese as a C-level type player. And so she got a lot of critique over that. Oh, she's a hater and whatnot. So, you know. So, hey, Candace should be used to this. She's been doing analyst work for the NBA, so she should be used to this sort of fire coming her way. So she should be good with it. But, you know, Angel's camp is pretty strong when it comes to this stuff. So you know they're going to show up and show out as far as that goes. So with that said, I want to play some sound. This is her talking about the All-Star game. Now, remember, I spoke about it when I did the recap, how they wore the shirts that said, pay us what you owe us, right? So they wore those shirts. This is what Candace had to say about them wearing that shirt in terms of the All-Star game that was played. Take a listen to this. Hang on a second. Oh, it's this one. Okay. Give me 1 second, guys. Sorry about that. Okay. All right. Here we go.
I think it was one of the best All-Star games for the, I won't say All-Star games, because the game, I'm going to be honest with you, Leo, it was awful. But
what do you mean?
The actual game? Are you kidding me? What do you mean? What do I mean?
The vibes were high.
Leah, y'all, and the listen, I'm going to tell you, you don't have to say anything. So I'm going to preface, I'm going to be your vet. Don't say anything. But y'all cannot come out there with those shirts of pay us what you owe us. Pay us what you owe us. And then do that in the All-Star game.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the
opportunity. No,
here's the thing. No. Here's the thing.
I'm going to let you finish, and then I'm going to come back.
We come out every single night, and we show why we deserve the money we deserve. An All-Star game, where when we have another game in 2 days, I think that is okay to just go out there and hoop and have some fun. Because on Tuesday, we were back at it.
I think it was one of the best.
So that was the sound from, in terms of her talking about that. There's more of it, but I just want to rest on that point that was being made. The voices you heard was Candace Parker, retired WNBA legend, and Aaliyah Boston, who plays for the Indiana Fever, who was on Team Clark in the All-Star game that was played. Now, Candace had a critique of the game itself. And, you know, when I was watching the game, I was thinking about it, and I said, these ladies have to be careful that they don't get into a situation as the NBA where we're letting the game get out of hand with the score and whatnot. And when I saw they almost scored 50 points in the first quarter, I was like, oh boy, traveling down a slippery slope here. But the game was played and the winning team ended up scoring 151 points and the loser 131 points. In a 40-minute game, because, you know, they play less minutes than the men. So coming out of that game, I was like, yeah, these ladies have to be careful that you don't get yourself in a situation where you're like the men and, you know, you're letting people go down the lane without, you know, with no resistance, if you will. So I thought about that when I was watching the game. I enjoyed the game, you know, because it's nice to see all the stars performing and whatnot. But that was in the back of my mind. I'm not going to lie about it. Then I thought about what Aaliyah Boston said in response. The fact that, unlike the men, who after the All-Star game, they don't play again until Thursday. And it's not like a full schedule for Thursday. It's like the TNT game, so it'll be a couple of games on, and then that's it. And then the full slate is on Friday. The fact that they had to get back at it 2 days later on Tuesday, that kind of lends itself to, yeah, they're not going to go as hard as you think they might. And from what I understand also, last year, I don't think they played right away then. I think now that you have this, you added four more games because last year was 40. Now you're at 44. So you have kind of this condensed schedule. So the ladies are right back at it a few days later. You know, they got to practice on Monday. That's 2 days after the games were played. And then they go hard at it on Tuesday, the third day. So I think going forward, because, you know, they play on a Saturday as opposed to the men, they play on a Sunday. So I think maybe the target goal for them is probably coming back to play that Thursday, because that Thursday is usually an Amazon game. So you could get away with maybe a couple of games and then a full slate on Friday. I think that's ample time for just to give the players space and room for when they come back. Because I'm going to tell you something. And I'll be covering it when I talk about the player and so forth. It didn't help a couple of those players because one is out with a season-ending injury, and one dodged a bullet in terms of that, but still, you know, that they're going to miss time. So there you have that. So, and you'll probably say, oh, that's just two people out of 22 players. Remember, too, Aja Wilson and Jackie Young hardly played in those games because they were dealing with injuries. So Sandy Brondello did the wise thing not to push them, just let them get a little bit of burn, and that was it. So So there you have that. And then also to circle back to Candace Parker, I talked about the Angel Reese stuff, right? So I'm going to play for you. I should be able to find it. What she said in terms of that, because she know the heat is coming down on her now. She knows that people are saying, oh, you know, but okay, so I'm going to play what she said in response to that.
Shape or form, I'm a hater. What player are you taking Angel Reese over of those that I just listed?
Guess we'll wait for their response.
I won't say All-Star games because the game, I'm going to be honest with you, Leah, it was awful. But
what do you mean?
The actual game? Are you kidding? I in no way, shape, or form am a hater. What player are you taking Angel Reese over?
So basically, she kind of doubled down on her critique of Angel Reese being not that C-tier level player. So Candace, you can't call somebody a C-level player when they're killing the league in terms of rebounding. I know people nowadays, they want to downplay the importance of rebounds, something that has been in the game for 80 years. If we're talking about the men, for nearly 80 years, rebounding has been an important part of the WNBA. Nowadays, people want to poo-poo it because why? Because Angel's so good at it. So you can't call her that and in the same breath see what she's doing in terms of the rebounding. Her playmaking has gone up. Her scoring is on the rise as well. So what are we even talking about here? What are we even talking about? So, Candace, I think you just should take a knee on this. And this makes for an interesting situation because you know she's getting a jersey retired in Chicago. So you know she's going to have to face Angel Reese when that happens. So I love to know the conversation that will be had. And you know they're going to ask her about it. So we'll table that for another day because I'm sure I'll be talking about that then. But Candace, I think you need to let the Angel stuff go. I don't know what it is. Some people say, oh, she's just jealous because Angel is breaking her records, her rebounding records when she was with Chicago or whatever. But that shouldn't be true because Candace's legacy stands on her own. Her legacy stands on its own. She's the only player to win Rookie of the Year and MVP. Your legacy is solid. So what are you worried about if that's the case? I don't think it is, but I'm just saying. So I'll just leave it there. But I'm sure we'll be talking about Candace Parker again. Like I said, she has a jersey retirement coming up in Chicago, and we'll talk about that. So, all right, so let me go through the teams and so forth. Just a little nuggets and so forth, and then we'll call it a day. All right, let's start off with the top team. You know what? I'll do like I usually do. I'll go bottom up. So let's do it that way. All right, so the bottom team is the Connecticut Sun, who, you know, they've had a rough season, guys. There's no other way to slice it. But they're a team that could possibly be active come the trade deadline. I don't think they'll move Tina Charles, although it might make sense to move a Tina Charles. Where would she go? I don't see a New York. I don't see a scenario where she goes back to Atlanta. I don't see her going to Phoenix. I don't see her going to Seattle. Could she join maybe Las Vegas Aces? You know, you get another player in there, another big, talented big. I know they recently got Nelissa Smith, but to me, she's more of a player you may be built for the future, but the Aces need to do something now. So you're bringing Tina Charles over there. You might be doing something there. But that's the only team I see could be in the running for a Tina Charles. She has to go somewhere where it's an established situation there, where she's just a seamless piece that fits in. So if you were to move her, that would be a place of possibility. And then you have Marina Mabry. I always get it confused. As far as Marina goes, you know they wanted to move her at season start. Well, she wanted to be moved. But, you know, she got comfortable there. You know, her and the rookie over there, Sanaya Rivers, have this working relationship that they have between each other. Some people think it's romantic. I think they're just trolling. I don't know. Who knows? But so she could be another piece that could be on the move. Where she goes, I think she's another player. She needs to go to a situation where it's established, somewhere like a Minnesota, somewhere like a, I don't think a Phoenix, a New York. Well, who knows? New York seems to be loading up right now, so it depends on what you have to give up. I don't see her going to a situation like Washington. I don't see her going to a Indiana. Atlanta, maybe. But Seattle, maybe. They could use some more firepower there. But, yeah, those are a few landing spots I could see Marina going to. Wherever she goes, I think they would want to send her to a team that's contending and get some pieces back, maybe some draft capital as well. So there you go. All right, so that is the Connecticut story. Chicago Sky. Right now, they did sign Marquisha Davis, who was released by the New York Liberty. So she's a second-year player. Didn't really get any burn her rookie season. And in the second season, even not so much. I thought this would be a year maybe they try and give her some more minutes. That wasn't to be. So where she fits in as far as what's happening in Chicago, not sure. I haven't seen her in a game as of yet, so we'll see. And then also, too, maybe we need to have this on the radar, guys. Angel Reese, who's been playing well, and she's missed some time, too, with a injury. But she just came back as of Tuesday evening. She came back to the lineup and played well, although they lost. She is one technical foul away from a game suspension. So Angel needs to be careful as far as that goes. You don't want to rock the boat and get yourself in some trouble where you end up missing time. So she has to be careful with that. But apart from that, you know, the team is struggling. Again, you lose your lead guard like a Courtney Vandersloot, and now Ariel Atkins is missing time. She got injured just before the All-Star break. So, you know, I think at this point, and then the whole thing with that is, even if they were thinking of tanking, their pick doesn't belong to them in next year's draft. It belongs to Washington, I believe. Yeah, they in order to get Ariel Atkins, they flipped their 2026 pick. So you can't even, you know, look forward to that. So we'll see what happens. But Chicago reeling right now. There was a point I wanted to make, but I'll talk about that when I talk about the Las Vegas Aces, which will be shortly. So there you go. That's the story there. The Dallas Wings, they did sign Grace Berger to a second 7-day contract. Grace Berger seems like she's bounced around a little bit since she's got released from the Indiana Fever a season ago. So it seems like she's been on the move. Now she lands with Dallas, and she did get some playing time. I saw her the other night in a game against the Liberty. She played well, too, in the time that I saw her. So Grace Berger's found a spot in Dallas for the moment. But the Dallas Wings, a team that has many people saying that they underachieve. The coach over there, oh, my gosh. He looks like a deer in headlights, guys. I mean, if you see the press conferences that takes place over there, they I don't know if they tuned him out, but things are looking too great on that side. Chris Cosinas, the coach over there, it looks like he's in over his head. That team should be playing much better right now. And they could be a team that could be active at the trade deadline. So they have some pieces there. If somebody needs maybe a Tierra McCowan, who's not starting for them right now, maybe she can be on the move. Maybe a Maisha Hines Allen, maybe she could be on the move as well. So a couple of their bigs could be elsewhere. So we'll see what happens there. I don't believe they trade a Arike Ogunbowale. I don't see that. So, you know, they're looking for the future. You know, pieces to build around Paige Becker. So we'll see what happens there. But I think you'll probably see, if they do make some moves of that nature, I think you'll see a concerted effort to get the younger players in there, players like Isaiah James, get her in there. And they got a few other rookies on that side that you'll probably see more, get more burn as far as that goes. But Dallas right now in rebuild mode and just trying to build for the future. So there you have that. Let us move on. In the number 10 spot, but rising up the charts, is the Los Angeles Sparks, guys, who just had a 5-game win streak snapped by the Las Vegas Aces. But great news for them. Cameron Brink is back. Yes, this is a player that I root for, that I enjoy watching. She is now back. She played the other night. She only played about 13 minutes or so. 5 points, 3 rebounds. So, you know, it's going to take a little while for her to get her legs back under her, so to speak, as far as, you know, playing-wise goes. So they're gonna use kid gloves on her. They're going to take it easy on her, you know, as far as easing her back into action. But she's a player. She's a difference maker on defense, guys. Those long arms, she's able to block shots. In fact, she had a block in the game the other night. So she's a player that can disrupt offense with her length and her ability. And And she came in, the first shot she hit, she hit. So I think her offense will come eventually as well. But it's great to see her back on the court. She went through a lot, missed over a year's time. So glad to see her back out there. But, you know, you still have a Kelsey Plum there. You have a De'Erica Hamby who's been playing out of her mind coming out of the All-Star break. I think it's because, you know, she felt the snub, if you will, of not being an All-Star. So she's come firing out the gate. Of course, you got Azaree Stevens there. Ray Burrell, who's just recently come back herself. Within the past week or so, she's come back because she had the leg injury as well. So she's back. I think, guys, the Sparks could be one of those teams that can squeeze into that last spot in the playoffs, quite possibly. But we'll see what happens with them. But the Sparks, under Lynn Roberts, they're starting to play well, guys. They could be a fly in the ointment as the season progresses. Let us continue on. And one other thing with the Sparks, they did add Latricia Trammell as a special assistant. Remember last we saw her, she was coaching the Dallas Wings. I thought she got a raw deal over there as far as the injuries that she amassed last season. I thought that'd be hard on any coach. So I thought she got a bum rap over there. So she's a special assistant with the Sparks. She actually kind of got her start with the Sparks. So kind of going back to familiar ground. So good for her. I think you'll see her back coaching eventually one day. So there you have it. All right, Golden State Valkyrie is the next team I want to talk about. They waived Stephanie Talbot. They waived her. So now they did activate Ileana Rupert. So you get rid of one player, you activate her, who she was overseas, guys. So they want to get her back in the fold. And they did just that. But bad news for the Valkyrie, their only all-star, Kayla Thornton. Unfortunately, they lose her for the season, guys, to a knee injury. And she actually suffered that in practice, guys. So tough break for that team. But hey, listen, they're still winning, guys. Even with a devastating loss, such as Kayla Thornton going down for the season, who was having a fantastic year, they're still finding ways to get it done. That is a great credit to Coach Nasaki over there. She's really getting it done for them, guys. And she has to be in the conversation for Coach of the Year. That's how well she's doing the job over there. So, Valkyrie, they'll still be a tough team regardless of losing their best player. It's a scrappy bunch. And just the other night, they beat the Atlanta Dream in Atlanta. So this team is not quitting. They're not laying down. So that you got to be serious when they come to your town, or you got to go to that place over there, Valhalla, they call it. The arena over there at the Chase Center. Man, the fans are crazy over there. But Gold State Valkyrie, that's the story there. Let us continue on. The Washington Mystics, everybody's surprise team, everybody's darling team. We know about the two rookies. In fact, just the other night, they once again set a record. The only two rookies to score over 20 points in a game for the Washington Mystics. So they're still at it. Sonia Centrone and Kiki Arefin. So they're going to be an interesting team to look at in terms of the trade deadline. Do they make a move? because you know their prize commodity is Brittany Sykes. Also, too, maybe you move Stephanie Dolson, a veteran over there who could really help a playoff team with her knowledge and expertise. So do you move players like that to build for the future, or do you say, hey, look, we got a shot here to make the playoffs with these rookies. Let them get a taste of that. So I'll be interested to see if they stand pat and not do anything, or do they unload a few of these veteran players. So we'll see what happens with that. But Sidney Johnson, another coach who's doing an excellent job. So much credit over there to the Washington Mystics. The next team I'll talk about is the Las Vegas Aces, who starting to come to life, guys. They're starting to come to life. They made a lineup change, guys. Jewel Loyd now is coming off the bench. Jewel Loyd is a player who a couple of seasons removed from getting MVP votes. That's how far gone she's, how far down she's tumbled, guys. So she's now coming off the bench. They are starting Kirsten Bell. And, you know, I'm on social media a lot, and Kirsten Bell gets killed on social media. But the Aces, you know, the drastic times call for drastic measures. So they're saying, look, Kirsten, let's see what you got for us. So she's now starting. We'll see what happens there. But, of course, you got your mainstays there. Your Angel, Asia Wilson's, your Jackie Young, who just the other night dropped a triple-double, played a great game, and then Asia just was being Asia. So, what will they do come the trade deadline? And it's funny, you know, I have this one deal that they should make. I don't know if they'll do it, but I don't know if the other team will allow it to happen. But this was the trade I proposed. Jewel Loyd and Kia Stokes for Angel Reese and Rachel Banham of the Chicago Sky. I think if you make a move like that, look out, because you got a rebounder in there to take the ease off of Asia Wilson. So you have that. You still have Nelissa Smith, but you bring her off the bench to fortify your bench. You still have Liz Keatley to spell the center spot. And then you get a Rachel Banham who can light it up from long range, so you don't miss too much in terms of what Jewel gave you, because she wasn't performing like her normal self anyway. So Rachel Banham can easily fit those shoes. And then for Chicago, you get yourself a primetime scorer, somebody who can play on the ball and off the ball. And then you bring in a defensive presence like Kia Stokes. Maybe that opens up things for Camila Cardoso. So I doubt if that trade happens, but I put it out there. So, but I think the Aces, if they can, they might have another move that they're thinking about. I think Chelsea Gray holds the key to things, guys. She hasn't been an all-star self. So what she does for this team, I think, will go a long way as far as what they end up doing. So there you have that. So that's the Aces story. But, you know, Becky Hammon, she's going to find a way. So keep this team relevant. And then next team we'll talk about is the Indiana Fever. Still no real timetable for Caitlin Clark and that groin injury that she sustained on July 15th. So no real timetable for her coming back. people are making guesstimates as far as that goes, because there's no real like practice time because they're playing every other day, it seems. So there you have that. So the team is doing the best they can, you know, in the interim. Ari McDonald, she's in there, the starter, so she's been doing well. You know, they made a lineup switch. They've taken Lexi Hull out of the starting lineup and put Sophie Cunningham in as a starter instead. They seem to be getting good results with that. Although, to me, Sophie Cunningham is a one-trick pony. She has a three-point shot, of course. She could defend a bit, but I think Lexi Hull is the better player. I'm just going to say it, but there you go. So, but Stephanie White is doing all that she can to keep this team afloat while Caitlin gets healthy and gets ready. So, again, no timetable for Caitlin. So, you know, we have to see what happens, guys. And speaking of Sophie Cunningham, she did get fined $500 for a TikTok video she made that kind of criticized the refs. So, and she knows she can't do stuff like that. I mean, you know, people are going to see right through that. But she did it, and what can you do? So there you go with that. So that is the story as far as the Indiana Fever go. Next team I'll talk about, fifth place team, the Atlanta Dream. Right now, they're playing okay. They're still kind of Jekyll and Hyde to me as far as that goes, because, you know, there's instances where they play really well and then they drop a stinker. Like I said the other night, they lost at home to the Gold State Valkyries. So, you know, that's always cause for concern as far as that goes. And then also, too, you have to think about the fact that Alicia Gray, who's been playing well, playing all-star basketball, MVP basketball even, if you want to take it there. She's been playing like an MVP, guys. And then now you get word that, remember, Ryan Howard missed the All-Star game, right? Now she's going to miss all of July with that knee injury. So more bad news for the Atlanta Dream. And then also, guys, Brittany Griner, who's playing kind of a shell of herself. She did come to life when she went back to Phoenix to play in the arena out there in Phoenix, you know, her old ball club. She did have a great game that night. In fact, they won that game 90-79, where she had 17 points and 8 rebounds in that game, looking like vintage Brittany Griner. So, but performances like those have been few and far between this season. Breonna Jones, who's been playing well, she didn't play well in that game against Valkyrie, surprisingly so. But, yeah, so, you know, you got Jordan Canada there, your point guard there. But, yeah, it's been tough to figure out the Atlanta Dream. Will they be a playoff team? They should be. What they do in the playoffs is a whole different animal. I think you can't really say much until you see Ryan Howard back in there. I think they go as far as Ryan Howard's health permits them, because you need that other go-to scorer, and we know that Ryan Howard could be that for the Atlanta Dream. So there you go. All right, and then your fourth place team, the Seattle Storm. They were just recently, guys, Bobby Wagner, former Seattle Seahawk, he has joined the ownership group in terms of the Seattle Storm, and that's at a number of $325 million. So Bobby Young, now part owner of the Seattle Storm. So definitely kudos to that. He played in Seattle, so he staying in the area there as far as that goes, having a piece of this ownership. So good for them. And Seattle Storm, they're playing well, guys. You know, you got your all-stars, Skylar Diggins, Neko Umeke. You got the rookie. I've seen her play, and I tell you what, when she gets regular burn, it's going to be trouble for the league, guys. She's that good. Ezzie Magbegor, of course, defensive stalwart there. Erica Wheeler has been a godsend as far as an addition for that team. So Seattle's in a nice spot. You know, as that fourth team there, you want to be among those top four. So when the playoffs do arrive, at least you'll have home court advantage. So right now at this current state, that's where they are. So we'll see what happens with them. Let us move on. So Noel Quinn doing a great job over there. Your third place team, the Phoenix Sun. Like I said, Brittany Griner, she came back to the Valley of the Sun for a homecoming, and they just showered love upon her, and rightfully so. So, but her team did get the W that night, so there you have that. But Phoenix Mercury, I tell you guys, this team, I think, once you get all the pieces on the floor, it's a whole different ball game as far as that goes. But you got to have Satu in there. You got to have Alyssa Thomas. You got to have Kalia Copper out there playing, guys. You just have to in order for this team to advance far in the playoffs. And as an aside, speaking of the Phoenix Mercury, they played a game against the Washington Mystics, and some clown threw a toy out on the court, and that toy got shown on TV, and you know it was a mess. And I'm like, what are we even doing? What are you doing with that thing? Bringing that to a WNBA game? What? That's ridiculous. So, you know, they removed the toy and they figured out who the fan was and tossed them out. Rightfully so. You need to go doing that nonsense. So there you have that. So yeah. But Phoenix, otherwise, they've been a tough team. They've had solid contributions. Their rookie point guard there playing well. Sammy Whitcomb as well. So Phoenix, a force to be reckoned with come playoff time. So there you have that. Your number two team, the New York Liberty, reeling right now, guys. Reeling because Breonna Stewart had a non-contact knee injury. She dodged the bullet. It's not serious, but they're being very cautious, guys. Right now, there's no timetable for her return. They want to be easy with this, guys. So they're not going to rush her back. They're going to make do with what they got until she arrives back. So also, too, missing some time. Niara Sabali, it seemed like every year she has missed time. And then now Kennedy Burke, you add that on top of it. So a deep team now, not so much. But good news, they were able to add a Stephanie Talbot, who got released from the Valkyrie. Australian player, so she knows Sandy Brondello very well. So she should fit in seamlessly. And they were able to add Emma Miesemann. Emma Mieseman, guys. She's a big. She can stretch the floor, guys. High IQ player, guys. So somebody you would want on your roster. She's been killing it in EuroLeague. She's a three-time MVP over there. She's a finals MVP for the Washington Mystics when they won it in 2019. She hasn't played in the W since 2022. So there's that, where she played with the Chicago Sky, who should have won back-to-back that year. I don't know what happened in the playoffs, but this is the type of player you add to your program. And right now she's going through the visa process as far as that goes. So we'll see what happens there. But Emma Mieseman, a New York Liberty. Hopefully soon we get to find out when she'll be playing for the Liberty. She made the commitment to play for them. But, of course, you know, she has to go through the visa process and all those things. So once that happens, she'll join the team, and then it's just a matter of time before she takes the floor. So good for the Liberty, by Liberty, of course. So, and then, like I mentioned earlier, they did release Marquisha Davis in order to bring on a Stephanie Talbot. Who do they have to get make a move on to add Mieseman? Don't know. We'll see what happens. Hopefully not Jalen Sherrod, who's one of their backup point guards. I like that kid. She's tough. She's gritty. Hopefully they don't have to move her. We'll see. And then, of course, the top team in the W, the Minnesota Lynx. They did waive Alyssa Peely. I was highly disappointed in that. And they did that kind of in lieu of possibly acquiring Emma Mieseman. They were in the running as well, but she chose New York. And it's funny because I said to somebody on socials, I said, "You're Emma Mieseman. You want to go to the Big Apple where the city never sleeps, or sleepy Minnesota?" Of course, she chose New York, so there you have that. But, yeah, so Alyssa Peely, I think she probably, you know, doesn't try to latch on with another team for this year. But I think she's a player who, remember, guys, you're adding two expansion teams in the offseason. So she's a player who can land somewhere quite easily, given her skill set. She's a skilled player. It's just that, you know, it was a numbers game in Minnesota, and she wasn't going to get playing time over the vets that they had. It's just that simple. You know how Cheryl Reeve is. She depends highly on her veteran players. So that's why Dorca Juhas stayed overseas, because she knows she'll get regular run out there. As far as the Lynx goes, you know, they'll use her in spots, but so there you have that. So Alyssa Peely, this won't be the last we hear of her. She'll end up somewhere, trust and believe. And I'd love to see how she plays when she goes wherever she has to go. So there you have that. But, you know, they have the, who people are saying could be the league MVP, and Nafisha Collier over there. Of course, you got C-Dub, Courtney Williams running the show. You got Alana Smith, your center there. They're pretty much loaded for bear over there. So Cheryl Reeve doing an amazing job. And they asked her about the Emma Mieseman situation. Of course, you know, Cheryl Reeve, she has to be her snarky self. She says, "Oh yeah, she made the wrong move," and you know, people want to kill her over there. "Oh, she's just a hater." What y'all expect her to say? This is a player she wanted in the fold. She didn't get her. What you expect her to say? So people need to lighten up. So there you have that. So So it should be exciting, Ron. If there's major movements at as far as the trade deadline, I'll pop out another episode. But that pretty much does it, guys. So I thank you for listening as always. Ooh, I didn't know I'd go this long. But all things basketball with GD.com is the website. You know the deal. Website, the episodes, the clips. Also, guys, support buttons are there. PayPal, buy me a coffee. Spotify, donate. And I always have to crawl for my Cash App. Always there. $GD, that sports dude. Again, $GD, that sports dude is the Cash App. Contribute to the show, guys. I'm bringing you this wonderful content. Contribute, yes. And also, too, guys, the NBA schedule should be coming out in a few weeks. Of course, you know, I'll break that down like I always do every year. So we'll have that to talk about also. Also, guys, socials, well, podcast platforms, I'm on them all, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, the whole deal. And also socials, TikTok, some Blue Sky, some Facebook, and then Instagram. Yeah, I'm present there. So there you have it. All right, guys, I thank you for listening as always. We'll talk soon. Take care.